Blog Talk Radio.
So that was kind of strange.
Yeah, we had a problem with the sound, though. I hope people can hear us now. Anybody, it should be good now. Let me do this again. They started early tonight, Bill.
You know, let me just talk about that again quickly. I want to retouch this again about that. We just made it through Thanksgiving.
Right.
They missed all that part?
Right.
Okay, Thanksgiving just came and went now. Christmas is coming. I'm getting to the point in life where I don't want anybody to know that I think Thanksgiving is a better holiday for me than Christmas. Surrounded by my family members, my friends and all that, we're relaxing, having a good time. But this Christmas is just getting me too much drama, too much stress, too much commercial bullshit going on. And also, right after Thanksgiving, Screwdriver and I, every single weekend, we are jacked up 3 to 5 events. Toy runs, veteran runs, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we will cut toy runs out, but we will still make all the veteran runs. We have callers coming in, going to talk about some of the toy runs coming in, so I want to put that on hold. But I do want to mention again about Tijuana, Mexico. This year, Screwdriver and I will not be in Mexico at all. We have to deal with the fact that there's a runs in America conflicting and all that. For those of you people who have never got a chance to ride your bike into Mexico, you know, guys, it's not that dangerous. The cartel in Mexico are killing cartel people in Mexico because they're dealing in drugs. I'm going to give everybody a hint. Don't deal in drugs. Pretty simple. Now, when Screwdriver and I cross the border, we never have a problem. And one time I had stopped, and I actually, Philip, I asked the cops, I said, why is it you don't mind us coming in? And he said, what? Are you guys going to smuggle drugs into Mexico?
Exactly.
I went, oh, okay, I see your point there.
Exactly.
So the people that want to go
now,
to Mexico.
But now, they're checking for guns, though.
Ammo and guns. You know a bullet is a felony in Mexico?
Yes, sir, it is.
That poor country is so ripe for the revolution. You know, when you go during the election time and you ride down to, we have the border town of Tijuana, Rosarito, and Ensenada, that is so controlled by the government for us güeros, us white boys.
Güero.
Güero, thank you, sir. If you go past Ensenada during election time, they have got communist parties down there, they got hammer and sickle down there. This Mexico is a Catholic country still. It is a democratic country. But when only 10 families have all the money, communism is all over Mexico, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people have nothing to lose. I don't want us to get involved in sending troops into Mexico, but I'm telling you right now, you mark my words, another revolution is going to be going on down there. These people are fed up with it. You can't just have a crooked governor, crooked mayor. What's the word for mayor? Is it
asshole?
not the word I was thinking. That Spanish word for mayor is
I forgot too.
Either way, you get my point, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody on down the road, it's crooked. It's crooked. It's crooked. But we have to pay attention to this because this is right on our back doors. Communism right now is appealing to the masses because they're telling people that have nothing, you'll have something. We have to keep close watch on Mexico. It could be a powder keg ready to expand, explode. Excuse me, folks. Now, what does that mean for a spike is crossing the border? Sorry again, I got a cough. It means nothing. Get down and have a good time.
Well, you know, Bill, we have...
The cartel doesn't ride around on Harley Davidson with machine guns.
No, but we have people that are afraid to talk on the air. And they said they told me they're afraid to talk on the air. But you don't have to be afraid to talk on the phone.
Screwdriver and I are very easygoing people.
If you can talk to us in person, you can talk to us on the phone.
That's right. People come in my shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles on Oceanside, the motorcycle shop, and they say, I was listening to you guys. I say, well, why don't you just talk to us? And they say, well, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, don't
we're not
going to
embarrass
anybody.
No. You know. In fact, the best thing that everybody should do, everybody, take your clothes off. Everybody, right now. Everybody take your, not you. Not you. Everybody listen to us. Take your clothes off. I'll wait just a second or two. You can, if you ladies, you can start undoing your blouse now. You can reach back there and unsnap your bra. Let's take our shoes off at this time. If you ladies have got slacks on, let's take those slacks off. We women that still wear underwear.
Well,
pants?
I just got told I'm bad. I'm not bad, Bill. I'm just trying to say. Hey,
I'm trying to make everybody be comfortable.
It's easy to talk to us.
How can you not be comfortable in your own house?
No.
Naked in front of us, you know?
Yeah. And if you have...
I don't want you wearing pants too tight. I want you to be relaxed. You know?
If you have video chat, we're out of luck.
That comes up every now and then. Why don't we, you know, show more pictures and all that? I think that really would turn off a lot of our listeners and all that.
Yeah.
So they want to have some type of confidentiality. They want to have the mask. They want things Mardi Gras, Nolans, whatever. So I hope by now every woman has taken her clothes off. I don't want any men listening to us take their clothes off. That's a little kinky. If the women have got their clothes off, relax. Maybe pour a glass of wine. And what's that thing people do to relax also when drinking wine? Maybe smoke a little something? Maybe
I thought you were talking about something else to relax.
Oh, no. Kind of shaped like that, but I'm talking about just kind of, you know, medical marijuana. There we go. Cannabis. That's a nice word I wore with that. So, ladies out there, every lady listen to me. Take your clothes off. It's okay. It's just us. I'm waiting for the first woman caller to call in naked to talk to us tonight.
Careful what you wish for.
I don't want...
Here's your first caller, Bill.
Is it a woman, please? 619, you're on the air. 619, we're waiting for you.
You're waiting for me?
Waiting
you don't
want
to see me in the buff, honey. So I might be the first woman, but I don't think you want to see me in the buff.
Now, see, we want you to be relaxed. We want you to be...
I am relaxed.
You know, you have tight pants on, a tight shirt or something. It's constricting your breathing. Take your clothes off. Relax. It's just, we're friends here. A nice glass of wine. Wouldn't that be good right now?
I'm sorry. What were you saying, Bill?
I said...
You got her going already.
When's a nice glass of wine, leaning back there? Maybe starting that fire up.
Don't me drinking wine either, honey.
No drinking wine?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's called an attitude problem.
When you have a glass of wine, you have an attitude problem? Or when you don't have a glass of wine, you have an attitude problem?
It's probably having a glass of wine would encourage an attitude problem.
No, see, that's why I want you to take your clothes off. I want you to get through the inhibitions.
I don't have any inhibitions.
Discard your inhibition. Discard your clothes. We want you, the real person, to talk to us tonight.
Be careful what you ask for.
I
would think on this one here, I think you might want to listen to Screwdriver on this one.
No.
Say something.
Every woman out there is absolutely beautiful. Every woman out there is a piece of art. Now, there's ugly men out there, but every woman out there is something.
I would think on this one here, I have to turn my computer off. There we go. I was trying to, never mind. I was just going to listen in tonight, and then I was like, I was having difficulty, so I called in. It was easier.
Well, let me ask you this here, because you asked us not to call you for a bit. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing quite well. The chair is going to be picked up, I believe, Saturday. I already talked to Judy. She's going to do a presentation, and I have a few bags that are going to be going to the shop that Screwdriver is kindly volunteered to pick up.
Will you be able to ease up to our shop on the 18th, maybe? I know you have a lot in your...
Okay.
No.
I don't ease up anywhere. I just put my foot in it, honey.
You park your motorcycle right up by the front door. That's what I like about you, dear.
Well, you know me well, honey.
Yeah. How many years have we known each other?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just used to see you rolling up your bike, always loaded down with stuff.
Okay.
You're always somewhere.
That's true. That's me. And I was thinking, well, gee, you know, maybe I'll roll up with all these bags that I'm putting together for you. And it's like, I don't think so.
No.
This is turning
out. We'll have a caller calling in, but I want to talk about the 18th.
Cool.
We're going to have an event at Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. We're collecting clothing, blankets, socks for toddlers, for teenagers, for adults. And we're having the local charity, Brother Beano's. They have a soup kitchen. They give clothes to the people in the streets that need it. We're going to give them as many clothing as we can. Today, across the street from my shop, I had a homeless person, with, let's say maybe 35, 36-year-old woman, sitting there on the sidewalk in the grassy area. She was there for about 5 hours today. Two patrol cars came by. One motorcycle cop came by. They wouldn't even look her way. They don't want to waste their time. They don't want to arrest her. They don't want to pick them up. Well, meanwhile, I don't object, and I don't have any problem when I see men that look like Screwdriver and I homeless people. But for American women that we can't protect, there's something wrong with my government here.
Mm-hmm.
And now this woman did not have any children, but when I see the women with children and we're not helping them, and there's a difference between a hand up and a hand up. I'm not talking about charity, giving charity to people. Because you're outside begging in front of McDonald's, I'll take you in and buy a hamburger. I wouldn't give you a buck, but I'd take you in and buy a hamburger. But why is it that in this land of opportunity, that the greatest nation in the world, a woman, there's no place to go, cannot come to the government and say, can I just have a place to stay tonight for warmth and protection?
Ain't going to happen.
No.
No.
I was reading tonight in the city of Escondido, which is in San Diego County, they haven't opened the homeless shelters yet.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they don't know it's cold outside.
Yeah.
I must say that. Again, I can pretty much say a homeless man, I'm okay, but if you can look at a woman homeless and a woman with a child and it doesn't stir something inside you, and believe me, so many of us are just one paycheck away from being on the street. The price these hospitals are screwing us on, one hospital visit could pretty much break you. So I don't know why we can't take these. Now, when I was over in Sweden a while ago, they were telling me that when they have these large buildings and the landlord cannot rent them out, after 6 months, anybody is welcome to move in there and stay until the landlord sells the building or rents it out.
Yeah.
And these people are not abusing it. They're not writing graffiti. They're not kicking windows in. They're appreciating the fact. And, of course, Sweden is much colder. But why can't we have some protection in America? We're sending rocket ships to the damn moon. We're sending rocket ships up Uranus. We're sending rocket ships everywhere. I don't give a shit what goes on out there. If there's any life out there, I don't care. If there's something in Mars, I don't care. I don't want to talk about billions and trillions of dollars going to space exploration. I don't care if the Chinese get ahead of us in space exploration. All I need to know is that here in America, the greatest country in the world, we're not helping our own people. Many people can't go to a dentist. It costs too much.
Yeah.
A doctor. And you know what? If I had known when I was in college, I think I'd study to be a doctor. I cannot believe, my wife's got some health issues, I cannot believe the amount of money they make, even with insurance. I'm getting, you know, not getting hosed. They have a right to make whatever they make, but the average person can't afford this. And again, so many of us are just one paycheck away or one medical problem away. By the way, we're speaking to Fran Del Santo today, and Fran has been a motorcycle activist. How's that semantic? Is that pretty good, Fran? Activist?
I guess you could say that, yeah, a little bit.
Well, I'm going to be, she's more of a fire brand, I think, but Fran's always said her own say. What she's told me on Tuesday, Fran's always told me the same thing on Thursday. She's not one of our politician friends who have bounced around to be politically correct. I've always respected that from Fran. And for the people listening tonight, I want to share that Fran's recently lost one of the greatest, in my mind, one of my good friends' husband, John Del Santo. John would go and help me. John was a great research person. He was a great speaker. He was a great everything. Fran, we, Screwdriver and I, and the people that knew your husband, he was truly one of the special people. I don't know how we'll ever fill that void.
Wait. There is a way to fill that void.
Send Philip over.
Everyone who is listening to your show,
yes.
The way to honor someone, whether it's a military person or someone like my husband, is to get off your ass and step up to the plate, even if you take a small part of whatever needs to be done, just get out there and do it. If you're afraid to do it, then contact people like myself or like you or Screwdriver, and we will help you on the road to actually either fight something, learn something, or help somebody. And that's what they can do to honor someone who is deceased. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry of using the word deceased. He's dead. Okay?
There you go.
People are afraid to use... this is the one thing I used to like about... Carlin? George Carlin?
Yes.
George Carlin, I love George Carlin because, you know what? He put it right where it was. He didn't use, this is shock syndrome. What happened to, you know what? He had one too many bombs go off next to him. So I am on that kind of a mood this evening. Hopefully that helped.
Fran, what if some of the people want to contact you? Can you feel comfortable giving your eBay number out or your eBay number? I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah, we're going to sell Fran right off here, you know.
Honey, I don't really want to buy me. John was the only man that was able to tolerate me. Even then, I think I scared him. I think I scared a few people at the toy run, too, but that's all right. If they were afraid of me, then they deserve to be afraid.
I think if I can for a second, and that's probably, you hit that right on the head. That's why I've always been attracted to you, because, again, what you say to me on Tuesday, repeat the exact same thing on Thursday. The impression I got from you was, if you have a difficulty putting up with me, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I've never seen you belittle anybody. I've never seen you be condescending to anybody. I've also never seen you back off. This is who I am.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that is so very true. That's not... No, that's not in my background or anything, yes. Back off? No, that does not work.
When we've met in the past and we've talked about things, you have always been, you know, it's a straight up front. And I don't want to get into sexism now, but a lot of women out there can take a good example from this woman here, who, well, she had a strong husband and all that. She herself became a strong person.
Actually, I think it was the other way around.
You made him a stronger person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's this is one of those situations, honey, where the little lady, she was the one that was the rider, and
yes,
to keep the little lady happy, he learned to ride a motorcycle.
I never knew that.
Oh, you never knew that?
With
him learning to ride a motorcycle, when we moved out here, because we were always into politics, one way or another, fighting for... John and I would fight a cause just because we could fight a cause. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes,
but
it does.
If there was something worth fighting, John and I were there. And so right now, there's a lot of things out there that's wrong, and it's time for people to pick up and start voicing what needs to be said.
Fran, you know a lot of people listening to you, but right now we've got Art from Poway. He wants to say hello to you. Art, are you on the phone, buddy?
No, he's not.
He's just listening to you tonight, Fran.
Did
we
I
just called
him?
In from Poway. Called an email, whatever the hell they do. I don't, damn machine's
instant
been about
message,
the devil.
Though.
Instant message. I don't give a shit what
Wing
it's called. That's why the anyway, he called in, whatever he did to you. I'm going to say hello to you and all that. I'm hoping we'll get a chance to see Art at the 18th at my shop down there in Oceanside. Hope that works out. Art, hope that's okay to you. Fran, I won't be doing the Tijuana toy run here. I don't know if you heard that or not. Heard me earlier speaking?
I unfortunately picked up on the late side on this one today, so yeah. I'm not sure, fully sure of what's all going on.
I'm going to let people come in and talk about certain runs coming up later, but I don't want to get into political bullshit because I always think politicians and sometimes authorized dealership people just irritate me. But there's going to be a toy run leaving for Mexico the exact same day, the exact same motorcycle shop as a big cover-up that leaves to come to my shop up there in Oceanside. So we have a motorcycle shop putting two runs on the same day, going two different directions. I don't know, call me crazy, but I think we could have worked out a little bit better on that.
Well, I know that if I am not working at the hospital, because I'm still going to be on call duty or whatever you want to call it, then I will be there at your shop.
That's good.
I will, of course, have my camera with me. I would not. And it's funny because one of the things that John had said to the doctor when we were in the emergency room is that he wanted me to essentially follow my dream, and my dream is doing really good photography. And so I just now have to find the time to make sure that I fulfill what he asked and my thirst for a newer level of education.
Fran, are you thinking about inanimate objects like a bowl of fruit, or do you like shooting maybe the outdoors, or do you like shooting human figures? Because Screwdriver said he'd just pose naked for you if that would help.
Oh,
you.
Don't even start that shit, Bill.
I wanted to ask, what does she like shooting? You know, what's your favorite?
I shoot everything. But mainly, when people see the work that I do, they have labeled me as a journalist shooter.
Oh, okay.
But I enjoy shooting as a challenge. If it's a challenge of whatever the photography is, then it's one of those things of, you know, bring it on, because I'll take the challenge. If people are afraid to shoot it, I'll shoot it. People are always amazed because I set up everything on the back of the motorcycle. Best Buy probably isn't I'm not a their best fan, primarily because none of my cameras make it past 2 years. And it's not, please understand, it's not because of the camera, but cameras don't necessarily like being on the back of a motorcycle all of the time. So it's a vibration motorcycle issue than anything else.
You know, people ask me over the years, Bill, how come you're not uncomfortable being around the cameras or TV programs? And I say, well, if I was a pretty boy, I'd have to worry about my looks. But Fran, you've seen me, I'm not in the pretty boy category. I don't know if you ever seen my hair combed. It's always blown all over the place with them. This is who I am. And I figured my friends will accept me. So why should I worry about how I, why should I be uncomfortable around a camera? I've never figured out why people are uncomfortable.
I love doing the hunt. And I have some awesome pictures of you. So, I mean, that's not a big deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, that's, I'm going to be printing that print that I gave you.
Yes.
From the wall.
Yes.
I'm going to be making another print for this lady for Saturday. So.
What's going on Saturday?
They're doing, I don't know, you have to ask Screwdriver. It's the one that's picking up the wheelchair.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the one we're going to do up in Temecula, Riverside.
Hang on, we got another caller.
Fran, hang in there. Somebody else is on the air.
Cool.
About 9, 7, 8. You're on the air. Jump in, talk to us.
Cool. Bill.
Yes.
You are a pretty boy.
we're all pretty boys.
I hope you heard me. I don't want you to take your clothes off. I'm only asking the women tonight to take their clothes off.
No, I won't.
I don't want
that.
You and Gino sitting together in the room taking your clothes off.
Why would I take my clothes? Why would I want anybody to take their clothes off? I can't see nothing.
Yeah, cool. imagination.
You talk about death. I was hearing.
Oh,
wait a minute. All shitting aside, Fran, I'm very sorry for your loss.
Yeah,
very sorry. I just lost my father. My father died 2 months ago, so I can relate.
Okay. I know people think that I'm taking it very cavalier.
No.
I'm dealing with it.
Right.
No, dying only means living forever. I don't see why people think we're all dying, first of all. You know, if you believe in the spirit, you believe in the soul.
Everybody, hang on 1 second. I'm going to bring another caller in to join us, please. 111. Art, jump in and talk to us, brother.
Okay, hopefully this is on. Hello?
Yes, you're live.
Yeah, we're all messed up here. What the hell?
We're all fucked
okay.
up, man.
Big dysfunctional family.
Yeah, but it's our family.
Our family.
I've been riding 40 years, and I've never... You know, believed in that. I've been all my life. I've watched death, and it always amazes me how people sometimes.
No.
I just believe that we're only here for a short time, anyways. It's how you want to go, you know.
Yeah, I
want to
say something.
You want to go like a fool.
Some of you guys know my wife is very sick, and her doctor gave me some good advice. He said, he said to my wife, today is the best day of the rest of your life's life. Don't look at yesterday. Don't feel bad about tomorrow. Appreciate what you have right now, brother.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there you go, you know, I'm not here. You know, there's a good saying, you know. Don't grieve. I'm having a good time somewhere else.
And I got another good one. When in doubt, knock them the fuck out.
Oh, Jesus, please.
Hang on. 760.
One forever, huh?
Let's bring 760-305. 760-305. You there? They're not coming in. 760-305.
Far, far, far away.
Hey, Bill, is that Patches?
No, I think, well, Jackie was supposed to call in. We were going to tell her happy birthday.
Well, maybe we all should sing her happy birthday now, and then she'll call up.
No, she might just be listening.
We got
just
enough
to
run around. Yeah, right now.
You know, be a little nervous, a little uncomfortable, you know.
We have enough lunatics on the radio right now.
Yeah. You know, I've had a very, very hard year losing people, and Screwdriver and I have another friend of ours who's he's dying of cancer. They gave him a year and a half. It's Bob Murray. Bob made a choice, and I know that's kind of important, Philip, that he's got a year and a half left if he does chemo. He has less than a year if he doesn't have chemo. But he's thinking taking the chemo will shorten his ability to ride his motorcycle and enjoy it. Bob's 70, I believe. And Bob says, you know what? I'm not going to have chemo. If I get 12 more months of riding, that's what I got left in there. That's how he's dealing with his...
anyways.
Yeah.
Does chemo kills you faster? My father had cancer and he didn't want it. He just says I might as well just have a good time while I can, because it slows you down. It's just a faster way of going. Sorry.
No,
should never be sorry, because anything becomes a choice.
Correct.
Regardless of what it is, it's a choice.
I like Fran. Fran has some good words.
Fran is stand-up people. Fran's ridden with me a lot of years. Stand-up good people. And I got to say this over again. What she says on Tuesday, she'll repeat the same damn thing on Thursday. She's not here to kiss anybody's ass. She tells it like it is. And she's been a good friend. And she rides hard.
Fran, what do you ride?
A Honda.
Honda. I'm not wrong with that.
All right. My Holley broke down. I ride a Honda Goldwing. Cheer up.
There you go.
I found the perfect bike for me. I actually have two of them right now. I think I'm on my fourth one now. I'm not sure. But the 750 Magna, I took one to Alaska. I took one cross country. I ride a little. And it's... for the weight and what I pack it with, if I packed some of the other bikes the way I this bike, people would probably get really, really insulted. My one bike that I use every day is what I call the Sanford and Son bike, because I have a specially made sissy bar, and there's not too much that I can't travel with on this bike.
You know, Fran, you've always ridden the metric motorcycles, and in all the years we've been together, I have
doesn't
never...
doesn't matter, Bill. The concept is they ride.
That's it. But Fran's case, though, Fran's friendship was more important to me than any type of model she had. For example, you ride a Harley. I barely put up with your ass. But in Fran's case, she's a metric rider, but her as a person, that's what I wanted from her.
The bike has never been the issue. It's the concept that a person has to ride a particular bike to be a biker.
Right.
No.
That's wrong.
Yes.
Totally.
It's like wearing a pair of jeans with someone else's name on the ass. And if you really want to do something, but have your own name put on a label and throw it over the person's name that's on the back of those jeans.
Fran, I'm going to tell you something. I still wear bell-bottom Levi's, so I ain't changing. I'm too far gone. No, excuse me now. We wear boot-cut Levi's now. I can't get the bell-bottoms anymore.
And
some of my East cousins, you remember the big bell-bottoms. Now I wear boot-cut Levi's. That's still. I miss the old days, though, yeah.
I love the bell-bottom. In fact, the best was when we used to buy the navy pants, because they had the best bell bottoms. And when I couldn't get bell bottoms, I used to actually make my own.
Hmm. I was always I like the full bell bottoms, the one that actually would cover my whole foot. I thought that was cool. Recently, we have gone to the boot cut, and I still wear. Now, a big change in my life, friends. You know this. I wear black Levi's a lot. I'm getting a little more. I don't know. Maybe I'm growing up. Who knows? I still got my tons of blue Levi's, but I still wear boot cut Levi's. Do you wear straight cut, or do you wear
boot cut?
Your boot cut also. Okay, we ain't changed that much. Not really.
The boot cut is only because how are you going to get your boots on underneath if those are skinny pipe pants? It just doesn't work.
Well, you see, where I work, friend, there's a lot of things you got to climb over, such as pipe. You got to go up through catwalks. You got to go on gangways. You got to go through P-ways. You got to climb over pipe. You got to climb over ladders, all kinds of stuff. So there's a lot of shit sticking out you can get stuck on, and I don't want to be the guy hanging that they got to come take down.
Well, that's
guys, we had a guy right in the shop yesterday with those skinny jeans they're wearing. And he came in. I was trying to be polite and all that, and he says, "Bill, you have a problem with my skinny jeans, don't you?" I went, "Yes, I do." Women can wear skinny jeans. I don't want to judge other
skinny
people because I have no right to be judged at all. But men with the skinny jeans, and you've seen some of them, it's wrong. Don't do it, guys. Just don't do it. You know.
Just as long as they're not wearing.
My East cousins, you guys wear bell bottoms, boot cuts. What do you wear back there?
I wear engineer boots. I've been wearing ever since I was 15.
And you wear boot cut jeans, or what do you wear?
Well, straight pants.
Okay.
I wear jeans all the time. I got leather pants, too.
We got another. Hold on. We got another caller from 760 807.
Come on, talk to us. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Is that you, Jackie?
It's me. I finally called in.
You ready, Bill?
Shall we all sing happy birthday? Everybody,
oh
all together? You guys, where's Jackie from?
San Diego.
San Diego, Jackie from San Diego, my East Coast cousins, Fran, everybody hear that? On three,
uh-huh.
We're going to happy birthday to Jackie. Ready? One,
happy
two,
birthday,
three.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jackie.
Happy birthday to you. How old are you? It was
all
too old to mention.
I'm afraid to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God. That was wonderful. Thank you.
No worries.
Guys are awesome.
Hey, and Bill's the big cover up is on December 18th at the
December
shop.
December 18th? Oh, okay.
At the shop. Starts at 10 o'clock.
Blankets,
right.
Socks, anything of any kind you can give. We're working with Brother Vino's Homeless Shelter this year. I'll have them down there picking everything up. We hope to get a mound full of clothes and all that. The homeless people are having a tough go this time. What
right.
Do you plan
well,
for your birthday,
I'm just
Jackie?
About to move. What was that?
What are you planning for your birthday?
Well, I'm about to eat Italian food.
Oh, okay.
All right. I love you.
So, yeah, you know, so, hey, can't
that's
go wrong with Italian,
Vino.
Right?
I love
oh,
Italian.
Hi, cuz.
I'm Italian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like
from
Italian.
Boston.
Italians are good people.
You know that the guy, that Italian guy is calling you from Boston singing happy birthday to you?
Yeah.
That is awesome. God, you guys hooked me up.
Yeah.
Now, if you can hook me up with an Italian local, that would be great.
Well, I'm Italian local, but I don't think you're what you're looking for. But
maybe
tell you this, I cook.
Honey, be careful. My cousin could be at your door tomorrow. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm scared of your cousins, Bill.
I hope my Russian brothers are listening to all this Italian shit.
Oh, how funny. I didn't know you were Italian.
No, see, Screwdriver and I are fine Irish lads. Those East Coast cousins of mine, they're all Italians out there.
I'm not Italian.
No?
We have Italian mayors. We have Italian...
I'm 100% Russian.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm 98% Russian.
My family's from Russia. I'm proud of
mine
it.
Mine too. Mine too. Most of my family. Yeah, except for like a smaller percent is like one person is from Poland.
Wow, cool.
Otherwise, I'm all Russian.
I'm very proud to be Russian.
Yep.
Fuck the Germans. Fuck the Germans.
Yep, I say that too. Fuck the Germans.
You know what they say? You know what the Russians say? A happy
what?
Russian is a dead German.
There you go.
I saw that on a bumper sticker.
I need one of those. You have such an East Coast
German
accent.
German.
That's because they're from Boston, dear.
They're calling you from Boston.
I didn't hear that. A car was going by. It was too loud.
They're calling.
Okay, so
they're,
the 18th?
Everyone copies Italians.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, Italians are good people. I don't mind Italians.
That's not fair. I'm only half Italian.
And they're good looking, too.
Yeah, they got nice
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone's really good looking.
Dina Ma.
Hey.
You know, Bill, I was at the bar today. And there was two guys sitting there, and the guy said, the one
and
guy
you,
said...
And you said hello to them?
Yeah, I said hello to them.
Did you
anyway,
start the conversation up?
No, I was listening. This is funny.
Go for a short walk after?
No, this
okay.
is funny.
Okay,
you know, they're both loaded. So the guy points at the other guy.
You like Rich Olderman?
Bill
no,
on their show for saying me happy birthday.
This show is crazy tonight, boy. Holy shit.
Anyway,
we want to hear. Tell us your
stop. Two old drunks were sitting across, you know, across the bar from, you know... The guy with me, I said, that, you know, I said, did you hear what the guy just said? And he said, what? He said, that's us in 10 years. And the guy said, that's a mirror, dipshit.
Can I tell you guys a Russian saying that beautiful Russian friend of mine, she told me that if you scratch a Russian, you'll always get a little bit of dirt. Because each Russian has such a love for gardening, planting flowers and stuff. Every Russian feels the Mother Earth. I don't know if that's true or not, but she should tell me that always.
That's bullshit.
Okay,
no, I'm sorry. I do not have a green thumb. It's not working.
Oh, Jesus. No. I can't believe that girl lied to me. She said it was the best she ever had. I can't believe she lied.
She wanted you to feel good.
Hey, Bill, Russians are not into gardening. They're into fighting. Okay?
There
you never
go.
See a Russian lose a fight, ever.
We're getting a little. What I do is.
All right,
the other
guys.
Day. All right, are you leaving?
I gotta go. Stop. I gotta go have my glass of wine.
For this country, at least the Jews went out and.
Yeah, you've been talking about that for months.
The Arabs never did nothing for this country.
You've been talking about that for 2 months now. That's old news.
No.
We're saying something.
Ask somebody. What has the Arabs in this
country?
All right,
fuck
them. Right
Phil was saying something. Let Phil say what he has to say.
This country. That's all I want to know.
Give us.
They killed their daughters for going with Christians, and they joined the service and shoot our servicemen in the back. Now, you tell me what the Arabs have done for this country, why we got to keep them here.
Well, that's a whole other topic, man.
That is quite extensive. I would like to paraphrase this.
You know?
Paraphrase that one sentence.
Pick
their
nationalities. I just had to throw in the Arabs.
Let me fuck them. You know?
Let me paraphrase that, and let's pick that subject another night, because I could be all night on that. I would
that's
like
right,
to say
that's
that.
An all-nighter.
In the military, I did some work. Anyway,
no,
anyway.
I understand. Well, we're throwing in nationalities. I might as well just throw that in.
Yeah, we don't want to hear Arabs, okay?
The problem is there are Christians and Muslims. The Muslims will hate us Christians to the end of time. They will never love us Christians or accept us Christians. Muslims are Muslims are Muslims. When I was doing some work somewhere, they told me, Bill, you're a nice guy. We take you to our homes. We take you to the weddings. But if my crazy cousin, who I hate, he attacks, I will be with him against you because... You are a Christian. But just learn that and understand that. That's the way it is. Muslims, Christians.
I don't know. For me, it is.
Tight on that one.
Yeah. I am considered a black Italian because I'm Sicilian. When you ask where that temper comes from, if you know anything about Italian Sicilians, you don't have to ask.
Somebody's getting an echo over there. I hear an echo.
Anybody else?
Okay, get it?
Yeah, but you must be screwing up there, Fran.
We're standing out of you, Fran.
Hello?
Should I call it back on a different phone?
No,
you're okay.
You're okay now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're getting it from our Skype.
The Skype.
Fran?
Okay, I'm going to turn my speaker off.
Hold on. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, I said I'll turn my speaker off to see if that changes.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's probably what it was, Art.
All right. Art, you got the floor. What's up, buddy?
Not much, really. Just trying to get through the holidays.
What are some of your toy runs you're going to do between now and Christmas? What are you going to try to make? You have such a damn so many selection.
Well, I know. I went to the one the other day with Franny. We did the one with the booze fighters.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Did you see the pictures?
No, I haven't.
Well, then how come?
Are they on the website?
Yes.
Your website. Well, I got my computer up. Maybe I'll just call them up right now.
I didn't take a lot of pictures this time around. There's about 200 of them of everybody coming out on their bikes. Light pictures of them in motion.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fran, you want to tell us exactly, was this at the VA hospital? Where was this tour run at?
Let him take it.
Okay.
This one was It came out of the fire training center down by old NTC. And then we went up to San Diego Harley and finished up there. You know, did lunch, all that stuff, regular routine. So, but it's...
You guys remember we did that toy run where you stand up down that Mexican restaurant? Does anybody remember that? Has anybody been around that long?
Are you there anymore?
I really... Not that I don't mind going to New York, Mike's. I appreciate what he's doing, but I miss that Mexican restaurant. I really thought that was kind of special. We could ride in and, you know, I mean, we all jammed in that restaurant. That was a lot of good parties, but I know it's gone.
Bill?
I appreciate the
Mike. Once they shut down. Yeah.
Up there?
Shut down. That's not there anymore.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It changed. I don't like changing my life. I do appreciate this year that it was San Diego Harley-Davidson and New York Mike that opened up his dealership for everybody to go afterwards. I'm just wanting to see if anybody else remembered the restaurant. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
That was Chewy's.
Chewy's. Yeah, thank you, yeah.
And then you had, before that, we had, when John and I were doing the toy run, the last two events that we did were at Pala. We did a run. We started from, I forget where down here. Oh, we started at Fiesta Island and then went to Palma Casino. That was the last two times that John and I actually were the chair people.
The tour run that goes from my shop to the Pala Casino this year is being canceled. Little political problems going on there at the reservation, but I think all that's straightened out by next year. So it is what it is on that one.
Didn't Pala have problems?
Go to East Coast, talk to us.
East Coast is freezing and there's some snow out there.
It's been warm.
You know, I've been riding every day.
Gino, you don't live where I live. There's snow out here. You live in Fitchburg. I live in Ayer.
I live 10 minutes away from you.
But there's snow all over the friggin' place out here, man. If you came by and visited me.
Go ahead, Art.
Art, you want to say something? Jump in there.
Okay. I was just making my smart-ass remark about the weather.
Listen, be careful. Those East Coast gentlemen, they get a little irritated.
Yeah, we do. We make for a good show.
Become a trend.
I asked them, gentlemen, I said, you know, because they're good friends and I like the people. I said, what do you do during the wintertime? They said, well, Bill, this is what happens. We have 3 to 5 feet of snow at the front door. So what we do is we tear our motorcycles apart, we lift lots of weight, we watch lots of porn. That's their whole life. So don't aggravate those East Coast people. They could snap in a heartbeat.
What do I need porn for? I can get it by myself. I'm 65. I still got a 40-year-old girlfriend.
66.
Right.
And my 57-year-old girlfriend is just as keen. She's Sicilian.
A 40-year-old girlfriend he met 2 days ago.
Well, then you know that you got to be good, because if you're satisfying a Sicilian woman.
he's got money. That's what it is. He's got money.
How's her
friend? Yeah, I bet you his money.
We got another
caller that wants to jump in. Hang on, everybody.
Hello, 231.
Jump in and join us, please.
Hi there.
Tell us who you are, where you're from.
This is Teresa.
I know where you're from, Teresa.
I'm from Michigan. We got a light dusting of snow today.
Snowing in Michigan.
Yeah. As for that, all that snow you're talking about, you can keep it.
tell Kid Rock I said hello. He lives out there, doesn't he, Kid Rock?
He lives down in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I would love to talk with him.
I thought Kid Rock was white. Isn't Detroit all black? Are there any white people in Detroit? I didn't know that.
Kid Rock is black. He's not white.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He is.
He is the soul of the black.
Where are you guys coming from?
The man's talented. The man is talented. I'd love to meet him.
Yes, he does seem like he's real. Only celebrities. He seems pretty damn real.
I like Kid Rock, man. He's all right.
He's doing a lot to save Detroit. I know that he is really pulling to save the area.
You know what? He was married to Pam Anderson. There you go. So that says something for him.
Yeah, Plastic City.
Money.
You should be so lucky.
Yeah.
We wish.
Hey, we can dream, can we?
Hey, it's American way of life.
I still like Raquel Welch. I don't care what you say. I still love Ann Margaret. I met Ann Margaret once.
To Sophia Loren.
Oh, she's the best.
That's right, damn it.
Get that old and look that good.
That's called money and...
That's why, exactly.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Well, and also taking care of yourself.
She says she never works. She says she works out every day.
Sophia Loren has more plastic surgery than fucking anybody I know.
That's not true.
It is true.
Yeah, it is.
Very true.
Nah.
It's
her lips, her
gravity.
Nose, her tits, everything. Everything.
It's called gravity.
On TV.
Yeah, and gravity sucks.
Look at me.
Well,
I'm 55. I look good.
Yeah, but you got a little bit of a belly there, though.
Hey, I wanted to... Let me... I wanted to talk about something. Bill and I were talking about this. And I don't know if you guys heard, but Big Bear Choppers... Everybody wants to know if they suspended operations. Somebody has the sound on in the background. I can hear the reverb. Would you turn on your sound, please? But last week, rumors were spread again that employees have been laid off at Big Bear Choppers, that the company suspended operations and would not reopen this week. So the local newspaper said there was no sign of activity. First time, especially during the last 12 months, that the same rumors are heard about Big Bear Choppers. But the owner's always commenting that they were just rethinking the way to operate their company. So what I heard, Bill, and this is true, but what I heard, Bill, is according to the show, customers seem to be supportive, even though they were talking about how they could try and save their business. But that might be the case. There's a gentleman named Grizzly. He was a disgruntled customer because he claims he paid $35,000 for a custom bike in January. He paid in full in cash with the bike we'd be delivered in 12 to 14 weeks. Needless to say, in August, Billy got the bike. But understand that the city of Big Bear loaned Big Bear Choppers $100,000 for the small investment program. Where did the money go?
I don't know. Where did you get this information? Is this from the internet?
This is from Big Bear Lake Improvement Agency. Approved $100,000 direct loan.
Well, you know, Kevin's the owner up there, and he's put a hell of a good party on every year. He's been okay to us. If this is true, I hope they can work through it, mostly because he gives us a free Compsis free party going in there. I heard this. There was rumors going on. It was the first I heard about this substantially. This is in the newspaper. You're taking out or something?
That's it, Bill. Well, I'll tell you right now. Okay, the difference in appearance that Big Bird Choppers as they pass by. Recently, the front display has been emptied. The building has been very quiet and dark for the past week. In early November, they were featured on Blue Moon TV, The Mentor, in which they were helped by a CEO of a large corporation on how to run their business better. In the 30-minute special, the couple both stated their business was in trouble, and they stated that if things didn't turn around, the business could go under in 8 months. Well, 3 weeks later, Bill, stuttered, gone.
Another American company gone belly up.
That's the thing. Why?
Hey, guys, my battery's dying on my house phone. I got to call in from my cell phone. I'll call back in.
All right.
Gino, I don't know what the hell you're going to do, but I'm calling back in. I'm from my...
Well, part of the problem is that, you know, a lot of people continue to invest in
Teresa,
the stock market.
Teresa, can you turn down the sound in the background?
My sound is completely down.
Okay.
I think we're getting an echo in the system.
Wait a minute, Teresa, do you have any clothes on?
Yeah.
If you just take your clothes off, maybe that'll help.
I don't think so.
Give me your blouse.
You got Art all choked up now, Bill.
No, Art, keep your clothes on. Gotcha.
Hey,
Teresa, I want you to be relaxed, and I want you to be comfortable. No constricting.
Oh, I am. I am a middle-aged, overweight, short woman. Yeah, it would
you
not
should
be
have
pretty.
A, in your hand, you should be laying by the rug, au naturel, sharing your feelings with Screwdriver and I. Every woman's body arts. Beautiful artwork.
Is the target of art?
A fireplace, a glass of wine, Teresa au naturel.
I don't think so.
No, that was Art with the Skype.
Oh, I think Art got a little excited about
that. Yeah, that's where we're getting the problem from.
Go. All right. Well, if you're nervous, I'm just trying to help you to relax a bit, you know.
Hello, 760-305.
I'm telling you, you scared off. Just want to
listen. Well, some people don't feel comfortable with this, and I don't know why. We try to make everybody, what everybody anyway has to say, we want to hear it, you know.
True.
Is Teresa still with us? Teresa?
Yeah.
I'm still here. I'm still
here. We're talking about the market, Bill.
Yes, dear.
Well,
ahead,
yeah.
Teresa. We want to hear what you have to say. We're hanging on your very word.
You know, people are pissing their money away on the stock market, but if they invested their money locally, it would help their area more. And,
that's true.
You know, shop at the local businesses, shop at the local smaller stores. If you have an industry that you're interested in, instead of going to the stock market, invest in something locally. There was a new federal regulation that allows smaller businesses to sort of do a brokerage thing where they can pull small investors in. If you get $5,000-$10,000 to invest, pull in, create a group to help an industry locally, and that's what's going to, create jobs locally, and it will also help the local area, and you're
Teresa,
more likely
as long
to
as we can
play that way.
Help these countries like China. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my children. But my grandchildren are going to grow up in a world we're not even going to think of America as a superpower. Right now, I'm proud to be born in America. But we are helping these communist countries. And if you want to skip the financial aspect for 1 second, let me tell you one of the basic tenets of communism. Control abolished of all religion. So religious fanatics out there, control and abolish all religions. This is the country we're working with? America, wake up.
Yeah.
How can we say communism is not as strong as America, America is better than communism? For Christ's sakes, they own us.
Yeah.
Communists, they're holding the bills. We know for a fact that, let me switch to Hawaii for one quick second. In Oahu, Waikiki Beach, all the major hotels were owned by the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
They had to pass a law so many years ago that would not allow another foreign country to buy another hotel, because every major hotel. Now, on the positive side of life, Japan will never bomb Pearl Harbor again because they own Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
But every that was a joke, guys. But the point I'm trying to make is that as long as this government reaches out and puts the needs of foreign people above our own, we have a problem. I don't know what your grandchildren will grow up to.
The foreign nations. It's our own people. You've got corporations who are avoiding paying income tax by holding their money offshore or incorporating in a state where there's no business tax. So they're getting all the benefits of this country, but they're not paying their fair share. You know, the oil companies, they're making trillions, of dollars every year, but they pay very little taxes. And not only are they not paying taxes, but they're subsidized by the people who are actually paying taxes. Oil companies do not need to be subsidized. What needs to be subsidized is alternative energy, solar, wind, geothermal. And that will never happen because it would hurt the oil companies.
Teresa, with all the poverty in America today, can you justify our government sending another rocket ship to the moon or to Mars or Uranus or wherever the hell?
Yes.
Can you justify that at all? Because I simply cannot justify it.
I can justify it. I like my microwave. I like my internet. I like my cell phone. I like all the toys that came with it that would not be possible if it wasn't for
research.
The space program. There's a lot of things that we take for granted now, these days, that would not have been possible if we had not gone to the moon. If we hadn't looked to Mars and beyond. The Hubble telescope has brought so much of the universe closer.
Teresa, we were doing that in all these, and I agree with everything you just said, but we were doing that at a time when America was better off, and I am having trouble now doing more research into outer space. Everything you said is absolutely true. Because of the research, we are reaping the rewards now, excuse me. But I just cannot justify $1 trillion back to Mars to find out, looking for water that may have been. I don't care what the hell they're doing there. I don't think America $1 trillion right now. Everything you said, I agree with. I'm just saying
that
today.
That space program will also lead to solar cells that will be so efficient that electronics always, get smaller and more efficient and more cost effective. But the solar cells that they're coming up with out of that program will make houses self-sufficient.
Teresa, hang on for a second. Please don't lose your train of thought or don't continue to have dialogue with me. But we have a call of 760-605. They want to jump in and say something. 685, I'm sorry, 760-685, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill Patches.
Patches, how are we doing tonight? Listen, Teresa, don't leave or anything. Patches is a friend of mine. He wants to tell us about, what do you want to talk about tonight, Patches?
Well, I'm trying to stay out of trouble, of course, but I just want to let everybody know that, or that are in the either southern or northern county, Florida, or Florida. Look at that, Santa Rock State, or California. There's a event that's going on this Saturday, and around 10 o'clock, and it's like the Postal Center of Vista's 4th annual toy and food drive.
Badgers, who benefits by this toy ride, drive?
Well, this the USO children of the, you know, they say their parents are overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. We try to give them a halfway decent Christmas or at least some type of a toy or food, you know, that would to go to them and have at least a halfway decent Christmas. So we're going to be giving all the proceeds and everything will go to the USO children. At the event, there's going to be a bike and car show, $15 entry fee, and then first through third places for both the cars and the bikes. And
what do you want the people to bring in? Is there anything show up? Is there anything that they can bring in to come to the event?
What would be great would be you know, an unwrapped toy for a boy or girl, or you know, canned or non-perishable, you know, foods. Any of those type of donations would be very welcome and would help out tremendously. And the Postal Center, I don't know if most people know where that is in Vista, but it's at 993 South Santa Fe, and we will be having signs out there because people still miss the street, but it's next to the actual Vista post office. And you can't miss
it. You're talking about the USO, and a lot of people don't know what the USO is. Can you tell us what the USO is, Patches, what their purpose and drive is?
Well, the purpose is for to make sure that the children, you know, at least get at least one toy or some, you know, the food, get canned food for that particular, you know, drive.
Now, Patrick, of course, the USO was just monstrous big during World War II and Vietnam, Korea.
The USO has started for many, many, many years back.
Yeah. So we have a big USO in Oceanside, is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, what it stands for is United Service Organizations, distribution between, you know, for the children of service men and women. That's the whole organization, you know, behind the USO.
Right. So you're a person out there, you encourage other people to come down here so we can help the families of our servicemen and women that are overseas. That's pretty class act. You want us to try to bring down a toy. Did you also say bring any cans of food? Did you say that, Patches?
Yeah. Canned food, you know, non-perishable foods, and you know, anything that you know can be, you know, distributed without getting stale. So, yeah, that's what we want. And they're supposed to have maybe some set of music. You know, I don't know, Christmas music. I'm just kind of in the middle of everything, just letting people know what's going on for this Saturday.
Actually, you've been doing this for a couple of years, haven't you, now?
Yeah, well, this is the 4th annual, and I actually wanted to do more involvement, but we usually do it every year, and we're trying to get more people every year to come down and just to enjoy themselves and not worry about a thing, and at the same time help, you know, the kids out.
Okay, Patches, now if for some reason, like my new Eagle cousins or Teresa or somebody that cannot make it, obviously, how can they send a check or something, or how can they have a contact? Do you have any information on that, Patches?
Well, actually, contact me, or what I'm going to do is actually I'll give the Postal Center number, who is behind most of the setting up and everything. His name is Rob. His number would be 760-941-4392. So afterwards, I am going to keep some boxes out. Of course, your shop will, you know, there definitely will be one there. We'll probably keep one there for a little bit longer because all the donations that still come in, I know there's a lot of different organizations giving things, you know, Toys for Tots are coming up and all these other, you know, charities.
Yeah.
We're just going to do the same thing. It's just, you know, these go towards the, you know, the USO children. So that's...
Apache, is this 760-941-4392? That person's name is Ron, did you say?
Rob.
Okay.
Can I jump in?
Anybody got a question for him? This is Patches.
No, but I want to remind people that when we're saying children, there are also teenagers. I know it's difficult to buy presents for teenagers, but there are a lot of teenagers that would like to have something for Christmas.
That's a good point,
yeah, you're so right. You're right. So I should maybe even throw that in there. So it could be for girls or boys from ages, you know, 2 to 18.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Patches,
yeah.
We appreciate that. Listen, before you go, is your wife next to you?
Well, actually, yeah, she is. I was going to tell her that she was going to send you and your wife her love, but, yeah, she's actually right beside me right now.
Would they want to hang up, hang up tonight without us. Happy holidays to your wife, Patches.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, dear. You know, this is another story. I don't know. A beautiful woman hanging around some ugly old biker. I don't know how that works all the time, but this is one of those relationships right here, Philip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you put up with him, girl. You could do so much better.
I know. Like somebody would say, I just love his dirty drawers. Well, I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
You know, Patch is going to be quite the PR person, isn't he?
You know what? He's doing great. He gets better and better.
Yeah, I like throwing quarters on the pool table. Is that what I tell you, Patches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what are you doing on the pool table? And tonight? Let's get back to Teresa. Tracy's still with us? Thanks again, Patches. We appreciate
that.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
Teresa, okay, let's talk about this exploration, space exploration. Let's talk about the advantages. My concern is I don't think America can afford it. You're saying America cannot afford not to do it. Is that correct? Sending people,
correct.
Really sending out of space research, right?
Correct. It creates jobs. It also creates the future. And
no, I can't disagree with you at all. I cannot. I wish I really could make it more adversarial between us, but I can't because everything you're saying,
hey, Bill,
I have a problem.
I got a scoop for you, Bill.
Oh, he's got a scoop. Everybody hang on.
No, she's going to be here in a couple weeks.
No, I better not be mean to her. Oh, no.
She'll be here.
I have a pretty bold long distance. I know she's coming out here. Okay.
Told her, Teresa, what you told me. You're coming out here in a couple weeks?
Hopefully. We're working on getting the financing for the film. We just need $100,000 in a short-term loan to go get our funding from overseas. So, but we're bringing, you know.
You need to expand upon that just a little bit, please, okay?
Okay, we're producing, our first project is called Never Can Say Goodbye. It's a paranormal romance. We've got an amazing cast and crew. It is old-fashioned entertainment. It's an old-fashioned ghost story about romance and suspense. It's going to be shot pretty much in Michigan, and we've got so many wonderful people working on it. We have to go to Dubai to get a loan, to get the financing. No one in this country was willing to put up the $7.6 million to fund this film. In Michigan, since we're financially challenged, they would qualify for Section 181 of the federal tax code, which means they would give a special tax credit that's equal to their tax rate. That would be just a special bonus we were offering Michigan has a really good film incentive program that we did not that we will qualify for, but we hadn't planned to use that money, so that could be part of it. We were offering if we're an investors, we were offering 125% of their investment to the break even point. And then once we get break even, for as long as Never Can Say Goodbye makes money, 25% of whatever comes into Cosmos Productions would be getting as an additional bonus or an additional funds for as long as it made money. But
so how can some people contact you, or how can they plug in and get some more information on this unique project?
Okay, I'm on Facebook, I've got my site at teresachaze.com.
Can you spell the last name, please?
Okay, Chaze. So Charles Henry Adam Zebra Edward. And
oh, I love it. Military talk. Go ahead, dear.
I'm learning it. I am a phobet. I freely admit that I am a phobet, but I understand what it means to be military. Our second project is called Operation Home Base, and it is a military series where I combined MASH with Little House on the Prairie and NCIS to create a family of man drama about forgiveness and second chances. And it is good old-fashioned entertainment. It's so much is just chippies, what I call chip beef, chippies and bikinis and beefcake, and we all know what chip beef is also called, shit on a shingle. And
Teresa, this is Bill Kennedy. I know every restaurant in California, at least Southern California, serves SOS. I go from restaurant to restaurant. I am addicted to that. That's better than steak to me, if it's done right.
If there's too much flour, it tastes horrible. But I used to make really good shit on a shingle. My Polish grandfather taught me. But no, right now as it stands, we've got the $7 million loan waiting for us in Dubai. We need $100,000. Yeah, it will cover travel expenses and our surety bond that we need to buy. Once we get the funds, we will immediately be paying it back. And do you think we can find anybody who has the big brass ones enough to risk it on us? Do you guys know anybody?
Well, I guess that's going to be for our listeners to pick up the phone, call some of their friends and all that.
Yeah.
They can reach out, because it's people like Teresa right now that's keeping America, America. I am so disappointed, because today, if the Wright brothers were alive and they were trying to get the plane off the ground.
You know their anniversary date is the 17th of December, Bill.
You just threw that right in there, huh?
Right.
You're a lonely man, aren't you?
No, I just have time on my hands for trivia, Bill.
Right. If the Wright brothers were alive today, they never got that damn plane off the ground because of the red tape. But it's people like Teresa and other Americans intermittent around America who are doing things that are keeping, they got a dream.
Mm-hmm.
In these communist countries, they got no damn dreams over there. I don't know what everybody can support and endorse her, but maybe they can pass this, her message on to somebody else. I think this is fantastic, you know?
Yeah. Dreams are big enough to share. And I'm going out of my way. I am paying myself a whole lot less so I can hire a whole lot more.
Right.
And that is one of the things that this country has lost, is that, the people who sweep the floor need to make a living. The CEOs in this country, especially for the big corporations, are overpaid. If you want your people to work hard and do a good job, they have to be able to focus on what they're doing and not be worried about if they're going to pay the bills or be able to take their sick child to the doctor
or if they're going to be homeless or anything like that.
Teresa, when you're going uphill both ways with the wind in your face. What made you decide to take such a risk when you could have just taken an easy job at McDonald's or something?
Because writing is what feeds my soul. And it is, it's who I am. I have never done things traditional. I've never been easy, been doing things the easy way, and I will never be traditionally Hollywood. I'm unique because I'm willing to buck the system. And I'm willing to stand up for what's right.
I see what you're saying about never being traditionally Hollywood, because I got to tell you, there's been a major conspiracy to hold me back from Hollywood because my face is so pretty.
Oh.
Okay, I exaggerated that part too. I'm sorry.
Movies these days are more like two-hour commercials.
Okay.
You know, they used to be about entertainment. You go in, you have a good time, you eat lots of popcorn, drink lots of pop, and eat stuff that's bad for you, and you have a good time for 2 hours. And it made you feel good. It made you think. It challenged you. And these days, it's all about selling shit to kids.
You made a good point, because Screwdriver and I have friends that give us movie tickets, give them to us. When was the last time you went and took advantage of it?
The other day.
I ain't been about 3 or 4 months. I don't have any desire to go. It's just not there anymore.
We don't even
pay for the damn thing,
I used to go once a week, and I haven't been to the theater since Indiana Jones.
Wow.
I would go. I've seen movies that people have never heard of. But I did it because, it was interesting. And this 3D craze, they re-released The Lion King in 3D. Why? There was no reason.
Extra revenue, that's all. They've already done it, and they got a hit, do it again. If it works once, do it twice. I guess.
And
remember
I
can remember really classic movies. I don't seem to get that type of entertainment anymore. Maybe it's just my imagination.
This might be shooting myself in the foot, but when the creative people had control over movies, they took bigger risks, but you had good movies and unique movies. Now that the bean counters and pencil heads are in control, you get remakes and sequels on sequels, because they think that, if it worked once, it'll work 16 times. And it's not like that.
I think Hollywood's heyday was before we had the blacklist, when they declared all these artists communists. I think we had such an influx of talent in America in the movies, and then when they came out with the blacklist, everybody started losing their jobs and they ran away to Europe and Mexico. I think that really hurts creativity of the American theater in America. Maybe some of them were communists, but shit. Problem is, they were talented people, and when they were all black, they had to go elsewhere to make movies. I think that hurt America.
We're there now. It happened once, but it's happening again now. When you really consider what our government is doing, and when they're saying, it's in the best interest of our country, we have to check your email. We have to check to make sure that you're not hiding a bomb in your child's diaper.
When an elderly woman has her adult diaper taken away from her so she could fly a plane to go home to die with her family, there is a problem.
Not only that, with the TSA, they're actually saying that they haven't improved the safety issues at all.
No.
And all that's done, in fact, is at that point has drained our economy even more. It has put people to jobs and taught people to be really fucking nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, I got something for you guys. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Now you know we have the stimulus, which is at work, right? It's supposed to be working, correct? According to everybody's sources above us, smarter that think they're smarter than us, they say that the stimulus is working. Now, I want you to listen how the stimulus is working, okay? Some have said the stimulus hasn't saved any jobs, but there is a case where at least one job was saved. Take, for instance, at the Oregon State University Athletic Director, Bob DeCorlis. Now, Mr. DeCorlis was considering firing their basketball coach, Craig Robinson, after an 8-11 start, 2-5 in the Pac-10 conference. When word reached Washington, Undersecretary of Education Martha Cantor was dispatched to Corvallis, Washington, with $17 million in stimulus money for the university. Thankfully, Craig Robinson's job is safe for another year. Now comes the interesting part of my story. For those unfamiliar with Coach Robinson, he just so happens to be the brother-in-law of none other than our country's beloved president. Now you're catching on. That's right, he's the brother of Michelle Obama. But hey, we all can't come to the conclusion that Coach Robinson's job security was all just a coincidence. I'm sure of it, aren't you? Thank goodness for the stimulus. But $17 million for one job, I wonder what mine's worth, though.
Sir, brother, I'm unhappy. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to... Is there anybody out there who's got anything else to say that they're upset about America? Is there anybody you can think of?
Yes.
Hang on one second.
I want you guys to check this out.
Another American.
We got another guy who's pissed off about the way things are going.
Let's give him a chance to say how he feels.
Government.
Wait.
$1.6 trillion, all my credit cards will be cut off alone. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got it. It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't. Ah!
Now, boys and girls, the man has some good points to make. His choice of vocabulary was certainly way over the top there. But the point is that that's an angry American because he's realizing the fact that he can't do anything. We say get out
the
and help and all that.
The only way this country is going to get back on its feet is from the ground up and not the top down. Reagan's trickle-down theory... never worked. It will never work. Matter of fact, you might as well call it the piston theory, because the top gets theirs and piss on everybody else.
We sure did. That's what screwed the postal workers.
Right.
Bush and Reagan both screwed the postal workers.
John
only got 40 cents on a dollar because Reagan needed money to put into the fund. So John had his
union,
and Bush Bush even helped us out even more. He saw this big pool of workers, and he realized that he forced all of us to pay into the Medicare system, knowing that we would never be able to collect on it because of our own insurance policies. They both did that for us. Oh, but wait a minute. When you're saying about selling out the country, how about Yellowstone? What was it? They were going to give all the vending concession stands there in Yellowstone to Japan, and so therefore all the money would go to Japan. Oh, let's go to Colorado. If you want to go to Colorado, do you know how many owned American hotels there are? When I went through there in 92, there were only two hotels that were American-owned. All of the hotels were owned from other countries. So if you really want to start somewhere, then don't patronize those hotels that are owned by other countries, because that is our money going out of our country.
I can top that. A friend of mine, Randy Becerro, he is an animal activist. Our wild horses, our burros, our wildlife is being threatened because they're supposed to be the government is supposed to be protecting them. Instead of protecting them, they are rounding them up, costing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And then, either killing them,
they're slaughtering them,
or selling them off for pennies on a dollar.
There's two things that are done with horses that are out in the wild. The American Indian actually took in a lot of herds,
mm-hmm.
but then they were actually rounding them up by helicopter and transporting them to, I forget what, England maybe, Europe, I don't know. And they were using
slaughterhouses in Mexico and Canada. They're trying to
for steak. Food.
Yeah.
And here, if they didn't get sent out, then they were actually target practice.
Correct.
And they were killing them. Yes, I do know that.
I believe her name is Martinelli Price. She is filing lawsuit because they have just changed the regulations, so now it's open season on wild horses again. And it's our tax dollars, it's our wildlife that's supposed to be protected, and they are targeting them. In Texas, that idiot Perry just signed legislation that they can shoot wild burros on sight. If you get to know somebody who has land and has the means to take care of them, they can buy a burro for $5 and take it to where it's safe. That is the corruption in our government. It's, it is about power and control, and that's the problem. We, the people of the United States, are the power and control. It's just that we, have forfeited our power because we're not standing up for our rights.
I'm going to say something that's going to probably offend a lot of people. You can't have people defend rights when they don't care about their rights.
Correct.
And when you have people that are more in tune to playing Pac-Man, well, that's my era, Pac-Man, but doing games, then going out and taking a walk.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best things that actually happened here in San Diego is when electricity went out. People actually started talking to each other again.
Oh my God!
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah. Most.
There's gonna be a baby boom too, but that's besides the point.
But, this country is magnificent. We have some of the best people in the world. We're caring, we're sharing. It's just that
we have gotten complacent. And it's not just our bottoms that have gotten big. It is our inability to get up and, you know, make change. America was great because we were strong, we were innovative, we took on challenges and made miracles happen. We were the adventurers. We were the front runners. And that is being tapered because people don't want to work. They want the easy way out. They want to become the one percenters and, you know, shit on everybody else. And that's not what we're about. We're workers.
I'm going to ask you a question. When you said one percenters, you talk about biker one percenters?
No, I'm talking
okay.
Wall Street
that.
And bankers one percenters.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that because that kind of didn't quite fit. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I guess I should say it. The 99%ers want, you know, to be the rich. But I don't think that most of them wouldn't be happy with it because they're workers. And
we have a real serious problem. And the problem started more than 20 years ago when parents did this time out. And when these parents all these years wouldn't let their child fail because it wasn't right for their child to fail.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a mother call a professor at the college and is upset because their son received a D in a class, well, if the motherfucker had been in class, maybe he wouldn't have gotten a D.
Yeah. Yeah. In high school, I got good grades, but I wasn't.
Hey, Fran?
Yes, yes.
Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, well, I am being tempered. I am keeping calm. When America doesn't realize when World War II was over, Europe.
By the way, that was the height of American power. We have slowly slid down since post World War II, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know if Americans actually realize this, but over in Europe, every month, everybody drops a pint of blood. A lot of that blood came to the United States, to us. They felt humbled to us, so therefore a lot of that blood did come to us. After a certain point, they no longer send the blood to us, and our blood bank are seriously in need of blood. But do you think that our Americans would step up to the plate to fill these blood banks? The only time they did that was 9/11. And they had so much blood that they actually had to throw some of it away. They were turning people away. Do you know why they didn't need the blood? There wasn't anybody alive to give it to.
Yeah.
They were all dead. So when people start saying, oh, well, you know, medical this and medical that, I don't want to hear that bullshit. I spent over $10,000 a year to keep my husband alive, and I had insurance.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, a lot of the people can't do traditional medicine, and there are alternatives. A friend of mine has MS. She's working using herbs and alternative therapies. And she is healthier now than she's been in a long time. The drugs they turned her into a zombie. And that's
why
they're attacking
her. Let me ask you this here, just a slight change of subject here. We're talking about the changes which have had a double-edged sword. The women's lib in America, which has brought many women the courage to come forth. I think the men have suffered amazingly because of it. I think men today are shallow. I think they're insecure. They don't know what to do. They are not men. Now, I prefer to open a door for a lady. I prefer to hold hold a chair for the lady. I prefer a lot of things in life. But I think that today I see the men around me not knowing how you women want us to act. Small case in point, with my ego, if I'm at a club and I got three or four women at my table and a man wants to ask a woman to dance, he better ask me to dance. He better walk up and say, may I ask one of the ladies at your table to dance? I would say, would anybody like to dance? And then they would say yes. I think before women's lib, men were more sure of themselves. Fran, you know I'm fairly sure of myself in there, but so many of my friends are suffering because they don't know how to converse with women. Oh, am I going to? I saw this on TV the other day. Two sports persons, and somebody says it's a birthday, and the guy, the male sportsman said to the woman, TV announcer, whatever the hell it was, oh, may I give you a hug? Is that okay? May I give you a hug? See, that's what you women, not everybody, but the women's lib has really pushed the men back. I liked it a lot better when men were men. I don't want to hold any woman back. That's not what I'm about. But there was a time.
I don't want a master, but I don't want to be a master, and I don't want to be a master. I want an equal.
Perfect.
Which means
yes.
Treat me with respect. A lot of situations are situational.
I know.
My language with like in this conversation will be different than with some of my other friends.
You might be live, so watch out.
You are live. You are live. You want me to mute you?
No, I appreciate you saying that, too, because by now you realize Fran is a friend of mine. Fran is a very strong woman. That is one of the attractions. If a woman is strong, then that's what I'm attracted to. If a woman is weak, blah, 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 that's not
Phil,
sexy to me at all. Phil,
you have a piece of roommate.
As far as I'm concerned, I was raised very differently than a lot of women.
Okay.
And I was raised to be a fighter. I was raised to not to allow myself to have emotions, because emotions would always get in the way of taking care of business. And whether it's, you know, like my loss or dealing with the family business, dealing with lawyers, dealing with all these different aspects, you can never allow your emotions to come into play, because if they did, then at that point you don't have rational thought. Now, when you're saying about a strong woman, I would venture to say that I'm probably considered a strong woman.
But I don't find it at all. I'm very comfortable with it. I find women assets or liabilities. I don't want a liability. I want an asset. And as I said, we want equality. I'm fine with equality, too. I don't want a weak person. I don't want somebody. I want somebody, again, my mate, my friend, my companion, but I want an asset. I don't want a liability.
The women's lib and, you know, the change in the roles actually freed men up, too, because as equal partners, women can bring more to the household. It used to be the man, you know, the taking care of the family was totally his responsibility. And whether he had to work one job or a half a dozen job, taking, you know, putting food on the table was his job. Now that is divided, and men can actually spend time with the family. Back in the 50s, the family went on the summer vacation and he stayed home and worked. That wasn't fair, and it cost families a lot. Now, you know, the families take shorter vacations, and, you know, with the division of labor, both mothers and fathers can spend time with their kids, because
agree or disagree with the fact, though, that many men are confused because they've been emasculated? They're not sure what's the correct way to do. What's the? How is this all right? Is this not all right? Do you think that this is positive or negative, or do you think it's even affecting any men?
I don't think it's affecting it as much as you think it is. I think that the rules have changed a great deal, that the men don't necessarily like the competition in the workforce. And at that point, that's where you're saying being threatened. They do feel like they're being threatened, but then they shouldn't be, because when you look at how the economy is broke down, they'll still take a man over a woman for a lot of positions, even though the woman is actually fulfilling the position under the man and getting it done.
All right, let me ask you this. Is it chauvinistic? Is it antiquated for me to open the door for you? If you and I both come to the door together, I open the door for you. Is that an insult to a woman, or is that just old common courtesy?
I think it's common. And I also like having someone pull the chair out for me and put it under me while I'm sitting down.
My phone's beeping. I'm going to probably have to hang up.
Hang on. We got a caller right here. Hold on.
Caller wants to jump in here. Hang on, everybody.
Hello, caller.
Hello. My name is Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Bad. You're on live right now. You're in 38 countries. They're listening to you in the Netherlands, Cambodia, Indonesia, Brazil, New Zealand, Russia, Australia, Canada. The list goes on.
We got right.
Wow.
Switzerland,
I
United
feel pretty
Kingdom.
Privileged right now.
What we're gonna do is what I'd like to do is, if you got time one day, you know where Kennedy's is, right?
No.
Well, Catherine's calling in because she's going to be posing on a bike, Bill, for a movie poster.
I didn't know this.
For a movie poster.
Bill. I didn't know Catherine was doing that.
God damn it.
Catherine, we have an outstanding, beautiful motorcycle that would love to have you come out and take a look at it. I understand you're going to do shoes in 2 weeks. Catherine, is that correct?
That's correct. I am. I'm going to go and do a shoot for you guys in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You live in North County.
I'd love to stop Custom Cycles sometime and take a look at the bike in advance. That might help you decide what type of costume you're going to wear, something like that.
Please let it be a Friday.
Friday's okay.
Friday's fine. I have a costume in place, if that's what you want to know.
No. I want you to look at the color of the motorcycle. Like after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it slows down a little bit. Take a look at the colors of the motorcycle. That might give you an idea. For example, maybe, and the bike is not, but maybe the motorcycle is yellow and you're bringing a green costume. We want something complimentary, not contradictory. So if you get a chance to come by, take a look at the bike before you do the shoot the following week. Give yourself a little comfort looking at the bike, okay?
Can I ask?
I'm slightly confused then, because I was told to wear all black. Is that correct?
Black is universal.
That's good.
Black is fine. Okay. Black covers everything.
That's good.
Can I ask a personal question?
Anybody, Jennifer, yes.
By chance, would you be able to squeeze into a pair of 27-inch hip huckers?
No,
27? Yes, I can.
Oh.
No, that's... For me, Fran, I'm about a 34-inch. Oh, you're not talking to me. I'm sorry.
Funny. I'm hoping that when you do the photo shoot, Bill will let me know when that's going down, so that
it's going to be on the 18th at
right after
the event.
Oh,
well,
sweet!
I'll tell you what. I vacillate between a 28 and a 27, but if you're giving me notice, I'll make sure I can fit into a 27. How's that?
I do believe that my hip huckers are a 27, and what it is these are leather tie-dyed bell bottoms that I wore a few years ago, which obviously I can't fit in now. But
Catherine, you get a chance to stop by tomorrow about, say, 4 o'clock. It'll be good. And also I want you to know that we're having a big a clothing drive in the morning and early afternoon before we do the photo shoot with you. The first time I'm talking to you, so I didn't know too much about a screwdriver to set it up there a bit. But But why don't you stop by? I want to give you a flyer, too, because we're collecting blankets, socks, and clothing for the homeless people here in Oceanside. So if you get a chance to stop by tomorrow, we'll give you a flyer, maybe bring some extra stuff down, or your neighbors get extra clothes and all that. Okay, Catherine?
That sounds great.
Okay. Find Kennedy's Custom Cycles. We're in the book somewhere. And I always tell my European motorcycle friends, if you get lost, there's always a police officer that can point you out where Kennedy's is.
They'll actually drive you there.
They'll drive you right to my shop.
They'll drive you right to the door.
I've been
I
here for long.
I know all police officers. It's
no,
okay.
That was a joke.
Maybe it was a bad joke, but it was a joke. Okay, so Kennedy's in Oceanside. I'm from Oceanside. I should be able to find it just fine.
Right. Okay.
I had Judy Hartner on my show this afternoon, and I'd like to remind everybody of their event that's this Saturday.
Hey, did you look at my screen or what?
Pardon?
I said, wait, are you reading my script from there or what?
Pretty much. I'm psychic. I can see these things. It's all from the heart, and they are having the event today, but they are also looking for motorized scooters for vets, and they're going to be starting a new program where it's equine therapy for vets for PTSD. So they're looking for people with horses who would like help taking care of them. So, this is called All From the Heart, and they're, we had a really good conversation today.
Tell me about the event. What's going to be going on that day, Saturday? Give me a little itinerary, okay?
Okay. We didn't go in. By the time we got to that, we didn't have to go into the details, but they have bought gifts for children and for the families of veterans with special needs. And Santa's going to bring them in. There is going to be...
being on a Harley, I understand.
Yes. Santa on his magic Harley. The gifts are going to be given. There's going to be music and partying. And from what I understand, you're going to be there. You promised.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes, we have to be there now. If we already said so. Okay. We're coming anyway. We're not going to have breakfast about 9 o'clock, then shoot right up to your place up there.
That sounds perfect.
I wish I could be there. But it's going to take a major miracle for me to come up with the financing to get me out to California, because right now working on the film is primary.
But not to interrupt you, but if you send me a little itinerary, because I'm going to tell you about another event. A friend of mine was killed, and they're going to do a benefit on December 12th up in San Jose, and it's on the blog. And I've gotten word today that they've got overwhelmed by the response from worldwide, because we're on in 38 countries. Don't worry about the lady saying 90 seconds. We can go as long as we want. But what I want to say is it's on the blog. It's under the Steve Toussaint Family Benefit, if you guys want to check that out. And, Teresa, if you check that out and send me something like that, I'm sure we can help you out with that, because we've also done it for Brenda Fox, who's going through her own private bill right now. But that's what we're here for.
I will send you the treatment and what we're looking for.
Okay, perfect.
We've got that loan waiting for us in Dubai, but you know what? There's money in this country, and I would really like to keep the profits here.
Teresa, that's what we're hoping. Some of you who's listening to the show will be able to call a friend of theirs, so maybe we can make a good connection. We certainly hope so. Again, I respect the fact that, again, you're a strong woman and is willing to have dialogue. Doesn't necessarily agree, disagree. Dialogue is key to everything. Women, one more time, your assets are liabilities to me. I got no room for liabilities. I want strong assets. I want strong women.
And Catherine, thank you for coming in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
About 4.
I really look forward to it, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it, and I will be there on the 18th for sure. Black bikini.
Yeah, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you so much. And
welcome.
I really support your cause.
Perfect. We can talk about
thank
that tomorrow.
You have a lovely evening.
You too. Thank
bye.
You.
You too.
All right, Bill. Pete. Yes, sir. We'll see you Tuesday.
Okay, Bill. All my best to you and Phil. Thanks
thank
for
you.
The, having us on. I know we're lunatics. But,
you know, buddy,
you
having know. This photo shoot next week is going to be real tough. Real
we
tough.
Love you guys.
Sorry you guys and, can't make it out to the next photo shoot.
We love you guys, yeah, and we'd like to be on the show, Gino and I. I know we're
thank you for being our friend. Sometimes
oh,
you're
no,
a voice
not,
of reason
no.
in the wilderness out here. My being
thank
a screwdriver is sometimes a little rough. We appreciate
I
your
know.
Voice with wisdom.
Yeah, I know I'm a little crazy, but
hey.
Phil, I'll see you. I'll be on Tuesday at 9.
Okay.
Take
care. All right, get some rest, buddy.
Thanks. I need it. Bye.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Teresa,
good night.
Thank you for calling in. Fran, as usual, I'll hit you up tomorrow and see about those the exact time. We don't have to tell everybody about that, but I'll call you in the morning.
Okay. See you guys. And, Phil, I'll be shooting you an email.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'm going to take us out with a little George Carlin.
Hear the truth, folks.
Huh?
I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contact. No contact. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.